God, grant us the serenity to accept the things we cannot change, the courage to change the things we can, and the wisdom to know the difference. All right, thank you.
Thank you all, and welcome to the second session of Back to the Basics of Recovery. Together, we are taking the 12 steps based on the directions found in the Big Book and the personal experiences of the 12-step pioneers. So again, our names are Mark and...
I'm Elgin.
And thank you. And we will be your guides for this meeting. During this session, we will take steps 4 and make preparations for step 5. 2-4.
We will use simple assets and liabilities checklists to identify the personality traits that have kept us shut off from the sunlight of the Spirit. By ridding ourselves of these shortcomings, we will expand our consciousness of the power of the God in our lives. Step 4 reads,
made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. In the fourth paragraph on page 63, the Big Book authors tell us what we need to do now that we've made our decision to proceed.
Okay, turn to page 63, paragraph 4, lines 1, 2, and then we're going to skip over to page 64, lines 1 through 7. Everybody have that? All right. Next, we launch out on a course of vigorous action, the first step of which is a personal house cleaning, which many of us had never attempted. Though our decision was a vital and crucial step, it could have little permanent effect unless at once followed by a strenuous effort to face and to be rid of the things in ourselves which had been blocking us. Our self-destructive behavior was but a symptom, so we had to get down to causes and conditions. Please note, the authors say at once. They instruct us to take the 4-step immediately after the 3rd-step prayer. We must identify and remove these things that have been blocking us from the spiritual solution to our difficulties. The Big Book authors start by comparing a personal inventory to a business inventory. In the first paragraph on page 64, they state,
and so we'll go to page 64, paragraph 1, lines 1 through 7. It's page 64, paragraph 1, lines 1 through 7. Therefore, we started upon a personal inventory. This was step 4. A business which takes no regular inventory usually goes broke. Taking a commercial inventory is a fact-finding and fact-facing process. It is an effort to discover the truth about the stock in trade. One object is to disclose damaged or unsaleable goods, to get rid of them promptly and without regret.
Okay, we're going to talk about double-entry bookkeeping. So, we are going to conduct the equivalent of a commercial inventory on our lives. What is a commercial inventory? For those who have taken an accounting class, either in high school or college, we learned that the equation for double-entry bookkeeping is assets equals liabilities plus owner equity.
So, we go to a blank checklist. Therefore, according to the Big Book, we are going to look at our assets and liabilities. That's what a commercial inventory is all about. It's an examination of what is working and what is not working in our lives. It provides us with the opportunity to accentuate the positive and eliminate the negative. Then, in the second paragraph on page 64, the authors clearly explain what we need to do in order to conduct a commercial inventory.
All right, page 64, paragraph 2, lines 1 through 6. We did exactly the same thing with our lives. We took stock honestly. First, we searched out the flaws in our makeup which caused our failure, being convinced that self manifested in various ways was what defeated us. We considered its common manifestations.
So the Big Book authors ask us to start with the liabilities side of the ledger. First, we look at our shortcomings. Before we get into the details on how to take this step, we want to emphasize a few things. First, there's no right or wrong way to take a commercial inventory. There are several assets and liability checklists in use today, and you can use any one of them. Second, the commercial inventory described on page 64 precedes a three-column example that's described on page 65. Because this examination of our assets and liabilities comes first, we assume the Big Book authors are asking us to utilize this simple checklist before attempting the more difficult inventory on the following page.
Third, Dr. Bob, a 12-step pioneer from the 1930s and 40s, used an assets and liabilities checklist to take thousands of people through the fourth step. Dr. Bob believed that initially newcomers should be taken through a simplified version of the inventory process. Later, they can work in the step in more detail.
We've provided everyone with an example of the assets and liabilities checklist that was used by many of the pioneers. And if you go through your list of handouts, there's an assets and liabilities checklist with the handouts, so take a look at that. It's the same format as the one published in the June 1946 issue of a recovery newsletter.
All we have done is remove some of the vertical lines so we can list the people, institutions, and principles we need to talk about to the right of the appropriate liabilities.
We are now going to define these liabilities in order to provide a clearer understanding of their meaning.
Resentment is the consequence of being angry or bitter towards someone for an extended period of time over some real or imagined insult. It is a hostile or indignant attitude in response to an alleged affront of personal injury.
So that's what a resentment is. Now, what about fear? Well, fear is being afraid of losing something we have or not getting something we want. It manifests itself in many ways, such as phobia, terror, panic, anxiety, and worry.
Selfishness is concern only for ourselves, our own welfare, our pleasure, without regard for or at the expense of others.
Another liability is dishonesty. Now, dishonesty involves theft or deception. It includes taking things that don't belong to us, cheating people out of what is rightfully theirs, and lying or withholding the truth from others.
Another one is false pride. False pride is either feeling better than or less than someone else. Feeling of superiority include prejudice about race, education, or religious beliefs, and sarcasm, putting someone else down to make us feel better about ourselves. Feelings of inferiority include self-pity, dwelling on one's own problems, and low self-esteem, the lack of self-worth or self-respect.
Also part of our inventory might be jealousy. Now, jealousy has to do with people being suspicious of another's motives or doubting the faithfulness of a friend.
Envy. Envy has to do with things wanting someone else's possessions.
I understand that not all of these may apply to our fellowship. The next one is laziness. Laziness means lacking the will or desire to work. Procrastination, which is postponing or delaying an assigned job or task, is a form of laziness.
At St. Thomas Hospital, Dr. Bob uses format to take newcomers through the steps as quickly as possible. In many instances, he completed the process during a person's 3 to 5 day stay at St. Thomas Hospital in Akron, Ohio. Today, many millions have recovered by following Dr. Bob's keep it simple approach. The Big Book authors also urge us to take the steps quickly. We must discover the truth about the stock in trade in order to remove these behaviors that have cut us off from the sunlight of the Spirit. In the third paragraph on page 65, the authors provide us with some of the details.
So let's go to page 65 in your Big Book, paragraph 3, lines 1 through 3, page 65. We went back through our lives. Nothing counted but thoroughness and honesty. When we were finally finished, we considered it carefully. Please note that the authors ask us to be thorough, and in the very next sentence, they tell us what to do when we are finished. Since this is all in one paragraph, we assume they are asking us to complete this inventory in one sitting. Keep in mind, this is only a suggestion. You can spend as much time on this inventory as you wish, just as long as you discuss it with your sharing partner before the next session. Now, let's look at what we put on paper. From pages 64 to 71, the authors present us with a list of liabilities we need to eliminate and assets we need to accentuate. In the third paragraph on page 64, they ask us to examine our resentments.
Page 64, paragraph 3, lines 1 through 3, and then we'll go into lines 6 through 9. Resentment is the number one offender. It destroys more of us than anything else. From it stem all forms of spiritual disease. In dealing with resentments, we set them on paper. We listed people, institutions, or principles with whom we were angry. Then, in the second paragraph on page 67, the authors instruct us to look for our own mistakes to see if we need to make amends.
So that's page 67, paragraph 2, lines 1 through 11. Page 67. Now, referring to our list again, putting out of our minds the wrongs others had done, we resolutely looked for our own mistakes. Where had we been selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, and frightened? Though a situation had not been entirely our fault, we tried to disregard the other person involved entirely. Where were we to blame? The inventory was ours, not the other person's. When we saw our faults, we listed them. We placed them before us in black and white. We admitted our wrongs honestly and were willing to set these matters straight.
To see where we were at fault regarding the incidents and events on our checklist can be both revealing and healing. To stop blaming others and take responsibility for our actions can result in a revolutionary change in our way of living and thinking.
So the question then becomes, where had we been selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, and frightened? Let's look at the third sentence in this paragraph again. And again, we're still on page 67, paragraph 2, lines 1 through 11. So let's look at the third sentence in this paragraph again. It reads, where had we been selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, and frightened? These shortcomings are based on self-will. In addition, they are the opposites of unselfish, honest, forgiving, and faithful, which are some of the characteristics of God's will. We can use this test for self-will versus God's will to determine if we need to set things right or wrong by making an amends. So this is the test.
Here we go. This is our test. Test for self-will. Selfish is self-will, and God's will is unselfish. Dishonest, self-will. God's will, honest. Self-seeking, self-will. Forgiving, God's will. Frightened, self-will. Faithful, God's will. Regarding our resentments, the Big Book authors provide us with specific instructions on what we are to do. We must get beyond from if we expect to live long or happily in this world. In the third paragraph on page 66, the authors explain that when we hold on to our grudges, we are actually allowing others to control our lives.
And that's page 66, paragraph 3, lines 1 through 7. So we're all on page 66, paragraph 3. We turned back to our list, for it held the key to the future. We were prepared to look at it from an entirely different angle. We began to see that the world and its people really dominated us. In that state, the wrongdoing of others, fancied or real, has power to actually kill. How could we escape? We saw that these resentments must be mastered, but how? If we don't deal with our resentments, the future will just be a repeat of the past. Each time we are reminded of an old hurt, the old pain returns, and we feel it again and again. In the past, we may have engaged in self-destructive behaviors to numb this pain, but now we are going to take the actions necessary to relieve this pain. The first thing we do is discuss our resentments with our sharing partner or partners. The healing process starts when we talk about the hurt, but we cannot fully recover until we forgive those who have offended us. We overcome resentment with forgiveness. We must change our attitude about the experience. We do this by seeing the source of our pain in a new light. We see the person as a sick individual who needs our prayers and not our anger. Whether it is a person who is still in our lives, someone who has passed on, someone we may never see again, or ourselves, the process is the same. We must forgive. Starting with the first line on page 67, the Big Book authors write,
page 67, lines 1 through 8, paragraph 1, lines 1 through 5. Though we did not like their symptoms and the way these disturbed us, they, like ourselves, were sick too. We ask God to help us show them the same tolerance, pity, and patience that we would cheerfully grant a sick friend. When someone offended, we said to ourselves, "This is a sick person. How can I be helpful? God, save me from being angry. Thy will be done."
That's known as the anger prayer.
Mm-hmm.
We avoid retaliation or argument. We wouldn't treat sick people that way. If we do, we destroy our chance of being helpful. We cannot be helpful to all people, but at least God will show us how to take a kindly and tolerant view of each and every one.
Now, it's time to begin the fourth step by making a list of resentments. We realize that the sharing partners are supposed to work on this list together, but if you'd like to get a head start on the sharing process, you could start filling out a checklist right now. This way, you can discuss your inventory as soon as we close this session. For those who are uncertain or hesitant about doing this, your sharing partner will ask the questions and fill out the sheet for you when you get together. In the open space to the right of the word resentments, we write down the peoples, institutions, and principles with whom we are angry. We record the first two or three names that come to mind. To protect our anonymity, we write down the generic equivalent of the specific names of those who we are inventorying. For example, instead of Susan, we can write family member, and instead of Bill, we can write friend of number one. We deal with resentments that are bothering us right now. In the days ahead, we will conduct additional inventories to take care of those things that may still be troubling us then. Our objective is to immediately get to the causes and conditions that are currently blocking us from God and our fellows. We do this by making amends to those we've harmed and forgiving those who have harmed us. Now, take a few minutes so everyone can work on the resentment list. Next, the authors ask us to look for fears in the first paragraph on page 68. So if you want to take a few minutes and jot down a resentment and some person, place, or thing that right now is really bothering you. Just two or three.
And now remember, pull those lists out, get familiar with it, write down the big things, because mm-hmm. we know that what we do in here is not going to be a complete inventory. We're going to have to go back with a sponsor and revisit this four-step inventory. What we want to do now is get started with the process looking for the big stuff.
Thank you.
Keep in mind, we're doing the resentments right now. You know, we don't have to finish the whole inventory during this time. So you're working on your resentment list on your form, assuming you have any.
I never did.
I think it's funny, too, that people are in here doing a resentments inventory and they're laughing. I wasn't laughing when I did mine.
Grumble.
Thanks. That's how you start.
Okay.
All right, we're going to get started again. So hopefully you listed all those resentments. And if you're still hanging on to a few, that's okay, because we're going to be doing inventories throughout the rest of our lives when we live the AA way of life. It's a continuous process of inventory. I think there's a step on that, too. Okay, then you read that.
No, we're fierce. Okay. Next, the authors ask us to look at our fears. In the first paragraph on page 68, they write...
And this would be page 68, paragraph 1, lines 1 to 7. Page 68, paragraph 1, lines 1 to 7. We reviewed our fears thoroughly. We put them on paper, even though we had no resentment in connection with them. We asked ourselves why we had them. Wasn't it because self-reliance failed us? Self-reliance was good as far as it went, but it didn't go far enough. Some of us once had great self-confidence, but it didn't fully solve the fear problem or any other. In the third paragraph on page 68, the Big Book authors inform us that we will lose our fears if we have faith in the power of God.
All right, page 68, paragraph 3, lines 2 through 10. We can laugh at those who think spirituality the way of weakness. Paradoxically, it is the way of strength. The verdict of the ages is that faith means courage. All people of faith have courage. They trust their God. We never apologize for God. Instead, we let God demonstrate through us what God can do. We ask God to remove our fear and direct our attention to what God would have us be. At once, we commence to outgrow fear.
Now it is time to make a fear list. Let's start with those fears that have no resentment in connection with them. To the right of the word fear, we write down the people, institutions, or principles that have caused us to be afraid. And then we look back over our resentment list. If, in addition to anger, we have fear or a phobia regarding someone or something, we write down the generic equivalent of the person or thing we are afraid of to the right of fear. And again, we're referring to the inventory list we're working on, so... let's take a few minutes so everyone can work on their fears list, whether they have resentments or not. And again, this is a process where we're working together. Help each other identify what fears you might have.
Now, there's some good fears and bad fears. We're talking about those fears of what's in the future, what happened in the past, and not fears of I'm afraid of heights or natural fears, we call them. These are unfounded or... BS fears that we can't afford to have.
If you're afraid of bears, don't put it on there. That's not what we're talking about. If you're afraid of financial insecurity, that probably goes on there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How are we doing our fears? Everybody got them down?
I think we're probably getting close to the end because people are talking and laughing as they're writing down their fears, so they apparently don't have a lot. So that's good. That's good. Okay, we're gonna keep moving now that you've finished your fears part of the inventory. In the first paragraph on page 69, the authors mention some additional shortcomings that we might need to address.
Page 69, paragraph 1, lines 1 through 6. 69. We reviewed our own conduct over the years past. Where had we been selfish, dishonest, or inconsiderate? Whom had we hurt? Did we unjustifiably arouse jealousy, suspicion, or bitterness? Where were we at fault? What should we have done instead? We got this all down on paper and looked at it. We overcome harms with amends. The Big Book authors confirm this is in the third paragraph on page 69, starting with the second line.
So let's go to page 69, paragraph 3, lines 2 to 4. Page 69, paragraph 3, lines 2 to 4. We must be willing to make amends where we have done harm, provided that we do not bring about still more harm in doing so. Absolutely. That's why we're doing the inventory.
Okay, now it's time to make a harms list. According to the Big Book authors, we need to look at our selfishness, dishonesty, inconsideration, jealousy, suspicion, and bitterness. On the checklist we have provided you, we have substituted false pride for inconsideration, envy for suspicion, and laziness for bitterness. These liabilities come from the June 1946 issue of the Recovery Newsletter. If we have hurt anyone, we put their name to the right of the harms that applies. Then we check to see if the resentment and or fear also apply. Take a few minutes so everyone can work on their harms list. So much for the liability side of the ledger. Oh, no, that's right.
Okay, so we're going to get take a few minutes to go over your harms done list, same way we've done the other ones. We're looking for big stuff. We all know what the big stuff is when it comes to harms done. Put it down on paper.
Next page over.
Remember, too, in this initial approach to the steps, when we're going through this list, identifying resentments, fears, harms done, we are looking for real big stuff. The stuff that keeps you awake at night. The stuff that makes your blood pressure go up. The stuff you don't want to think about. Stuff that's really close to the surface.
That stuff that drove you to drink.
And will drive you back.
Yes. All right, everybody got their three of those whoppers down there, three or four of them? Harm's done? Are we good? So much for liability side of the ledger. Now, what about the assets?
Now we're going to talk about character assets because the big book authors list assets throughout chapter 5. We've already explained that the asset that corresponds to the liability of resentment is forgiveness. Resentment, liability, forgiveness, asset. And the asset that corresponds to the liability of fear is faith. Additional assets that correspond to the remainder of the liabilities, and these are the foundation of the sober life, unselfishness, honesty, humility, trust, contentment, and action. We have now looked at both sides of the ledger. Our inventory consists of a list of liabilities to watch for and assets to strive for. Keep in mind that it is not necessary to talk about every resentment, selfish act, or person you have ever lied to in order for the inventory to be thorough. The objective is to get to the causes and conditions. Sometimes it takes only a few incidents to make clear which shortcomings have kept us blocked from an intimate two-way relationship with the one who has all power. In the process of sharing our inventory, we may find that we need to set right the wrong. If that is the case, we circle the name of the person, organization, or principle that needs to be addressed. The circled names become our eight-step amends list. And we're going to get to that later, but remember, when we get to our eighth step, the book says, we referred to our list again. We made it when we did inventory. So this is going to form the basis for that step. So when you got your list there, circle those names.
After we have finished talking about the events or circumstances represented by the names to the right of the liabilities, we unfold the checklist so we can look at the asset side of the sheet. The sharing partner will usually end the session by describing the assets we already have. Those with the least number of names and the assets that will be strengthened. Those with the most number of names as we make our amends. To see how it is done, let's look at the handout subtitled Checklist with the 8-Step Amends List. Using this example as a guide, please follow along as I summarize the sharing session for the person. Based on the names on this sheet, I would say something like, this inventory shows that, for the most part, you are a humble, trusting, and contented person with considerable self-respect. In addition, you will become more forgiving and loving as you let bygones be bygones, and you will become more unselfish, honest, and industrious as you make amends for your selfishness, dishonesty, and laziness. The liabilities with names to the right of them are the shortcomings we turn over to God in steps 6 and 7. As mentioned previously, the circle names are our 8-step amends list.
Okay, let's make sure we're all in the same in that list of handouts. It's a checklist with 8-step amends list. Let's make sure we're all on that. Should be in your packet. That's the title of it is Checklist with 8-step amends list. Hold it up. I don't have one. I can't hold it up. That's the All right, we got it. Okay, now we're going to talk about types of amends. Next to the ones we've circled, we can add notes to identify the specific type amends we are to make in step 9. The amends mentioned in the big book are direct amends, living amends, amends in kind, and amends to those who cannot be seen. We'll talk more about the amends process next session.
So, on one sheet of the paper, we now have everything we need to take steps 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9. We look at the assets as well as the liabilities because many of us have lost much of our self-esteem and self-worth as a result of our addictive or compulsive behaviors. Even though we've done some very foolish and destructive things, we will never have to repeat those actions, provided we are willing to admit our faults and correct them. If we are genuinely sorry, God has already forgiven us. Now, we need to forgive ourselves. So, it's time to make a searching and fearless moral inventory. As a result of doing this, we will clean up the wreckage of the past so we can strengthen our connection with the Spirit of the universe. We have completed our presentation on the fourth step, but before we end this session, we need to discuss one more detail, the person or persons with whom we share our inventory. Step five reads,
admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. On page 72, starting with the ninth line in the second paragraph, the Big Book authors tell us why we need to admit our faults to another person.
Page 72, paragraph 2, lines 9 through 13, and then we're going to go over to page 73, lines 1 through 5. Here's a big warning, people. The best reason first, if we skip this vital step, we may not overcome our difficulties. Time after time, newcomers have tried to keep to themselves certain facts about their lives. Trying to avoid this humbling experience, they have turned to easier methods. Almost invariably, they relapse. Having persevered with the rest of their program, they wondered why they fell. We think the reason is that they never completed their house cleaning. They took inventory all right, but hung on to some of the worst items in stock. Since we're not good judges of character, especially of our own, we confide in someone else. Only another person can see us as we really are. The individual can be a member of the 12-step community who is helping you through this session, but it doesn't have to be. The Big Book authors provide us with other options. Starting with the fourth paragraph on page 73, they give us directions on how to choose that person or persons with whom we share our inventories.
Okay, so this will be on page 73, paragraph 4, line 1. And we're also going to be looking at page 74, lines 1 through 4 and 7 through 9, and then paragraphs 1 and lines 1 through 4. Okay, so there's going to be a lot of material on page 73 and 74. So just get to that area. We're not going to read completely through the whole thing, but that's where you need to be. We must be entirely honest with somebody if we expect to live long or happily in this world. Rightly and naturally, we think well before we choose the person or persons with whom we take this intimate and confidential step. Though we have no religious connection, we may still do well to talk with someone ordained by an established religion. If we cannot or would rather not do this, we search our acquaintance for a closed-mouth, understanding friend. Perhaps our doctor or psychologist will be this person.
Of critical importance is confidentiality. The Big Book authors list some of the people who are legally bound to keep a secret. The privilege protects communications between certain individuals and ensures that these communications will remain confidential. The people listed in the Big Book who have the legal protection are religious, medical, and mental health professionals. Attorneys also have this privilege.
And we're talking about a legal privilege. This privilege is not absolute. There are exceptions. This legal protection does not include 12-step sponsors or sharing partners. That's why we must be very careful about what we share during a fifth step. If you feel uncomfortable talking about some parts of your checklist with your partner, all we ask is that you make a commitment to this person as to when, where, and with whom you will share these portions of your inventory. If you are willing to make this commitment, you can take the rest of the steps with us today. In the second paragraph on page 74, the Big Book authors explain the circumstances under which this step may be temporarily postponed. Bottom line here is, don't necessarily confess felony crimes in this room today. You can put that off until another time in a more thorough inventory.
Careful, Page 74, paragraph 2, lines 1 through 6. Notwithstanding the great necessity for discussing ourselves with someone, it may be one is so situated that there is no suitable person available. If that is so, this step may be postponed. Only, however, if we hold ourselves in complete readiness to go through with it at the first opportunity. The Big Book authors give us specific instructions for taking the fifth step. In the first paragraph on page 75, they tell us that as soon as we decide who we are going to talk to, we take action immediately.
And let's go to page 75, paragraph 1, lines 1 through 8, page 75. When we decide who is to hear our story, we waste no time. We have a written inventory, and we are prepared for a long talk. We explain to our partner what we are about to do and why we have to do it. Our partner should realize that we are engaged upon a life and death errand. Most people approached this way will be glad to help. They will be honored by our confidence. And then the Big Book authors announce that once we admit our shortcomings, our lives will change. On page 75, starting with the second line in the second paragraph, they describe some of these changes.
Page 75, paragraph 2, lines 2 through 11. Once we have taken this step, withholding nothing, we are delighted. We can look the world in the eye. We can be alone at perfect peace and ease. Our fears fall from us. We begin to feel the nearness of our Creator. We have had a certain spiritual beliefs, but now we begin to have a spiritual experience. The feeling that our problem has disappeared will often come strongly. We feel we are on a broad highway, walking hand in hand with the Spirit of the universe. We are now well on our way towards recovering from our addictive and compulsive behaviors. The authors tell us we are in the process of having a spiritual experience. As a result, the psychic chain, our obsessions, are being removed. Please, let the God consciousness within guide you through the inventory process. If you do, you'll find these steps simple and straightforward. As we already have said, there is no right or wrong way to do the fourth and fifth step. Just do them.
And that's it for this session. Are there any questions before we break? Good. Take a break. Come back at the top of the hour.
Quick one this time, guys.
We may or may not have some coffee ready soon.